face in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, cause every single week another win for me.
Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest.
Welcome to another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst over at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. You can also catch all my work at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. We have another fantastic episode for you again this week. I apologize for missing the last week and a half or so. Went on a vacation with my family and had to get away a little bit, recharge the batteries, as I do a lot in the industry. But we are back. This week I have Scott Bogman from In This League and Ariel Cohen from Fangraphs joining me in separate interviews. Both are fantastic guys within the industry, but do very different things. Scott does a lot of work within this league, also has some new stuff with Fantrax, has a radio show over at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. He covers a lot of different sports, from obviously baseball, but basketball, football, college football, a lot of great things they do over it in this league. His partner, Christopher Welsh, over there too. We'll have to get him on at some point. And then Ariel does a lot of work over at Fangraphs, but he does projections, and he does the ATC projections, which have been very successful, and he's been very successful playing within the industry, had a top 10 finish in the overall of NFBC 1 year, and has been a real vital part, and as you can see his projections over up on Fangraphs in the preseason. Definitely go check out both of their stuff. I hope you enjoy this show. First up is Scott Bogman from In This League. Joining me right now is Scott Bogman from In This League. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Scott, why don't you let everybody know where you can reach on social media?
At Bogman Sports on the Twitter machine. I have a Facebook. I'm really terrible with Facebook. I don't want to give them my blood type and social security number and all that stuff, so I don't do it that often, but I'm on there. You know, email scottbogman@gmail.com. You know, you can come and knock on my door if you want. So I'm not going to give out my address, but if you find it, I do have Snapchat, actually. So I follow Mike Warner and all of his exploits on Snapchat. So
whatever you do, don't follow Matt Thompson.
No? Okay. Why?
He just sends random, like, snaps. So, like, I don't... Like, I tried doing Snapchat for, like, a month. And, like, I got, like, a random... Like, it was mostly just Matt hitting me up with just these random videos. Like, I didn't even know what was going on. But they came all the time. It was annoying. And then I got a lot of, like nude pics people were sending to me. And, like...
Oh, okay.
It was really awkward.
Yeah, you know, if I'm getting those from Matt, I probably would also get away from Snapchat, but, you know, I just follow porn stars, so, you know.
That's the smart thing to do.
And, like, the Diamondbacks and, you know, all my favorite sports teams and all that stuff, but mainly porn stars.
Let's definitely follow Scott on Twitter, and you can hit him up on Facebook and stuff like that. But we're going to talk about all your work here in a minute, but first I want to start with your invitational team. We were just talking a little bit about...
Well, that was fun. Yeah. Let's talk about anything else.
Let's talk about... how is your team doing?
Not so hot. Not so hot. I've had a couple injuries. I mean, nothing gigantic, but I did lose Yadi Molina for a while. I replaced him with Carson Kelly, who went on the disabled list today. And Carlos Gonzalez now on the disabled list. Will Myers on the disabled list. You know, for some reason, I drafted Danny Salazar. I don't know why I did that. But at least I made the right decision to grab Yu Darvish. So, you know, my team has been severely underperforming. I had a couple good picks in there. I picked up Jed Lowry. He's been fairly solid. Lorenzo Cain has been, your boy Lorenzo Cain has been fairly decent. I also have your boy Andrew McCutcheon. And Mike Moustakas is probably my best pick in the draft. But, you know, definitely have made some mistakes. So, It's not been good. I'm like 11th. So all I want to do is finish ahead of our guy Warner.
All I want to do is not finish last. And I'm currently succeeding in that, but just barely. I'm right there with you. At first, it was
In dead last? Brockness Monster. Let's point and laugh.
Which, like, don't get me wrong, like you know, I want to make fun of him and stuff like that. But he did have, like, brain surgery or something this year. Like, he had a serious injury. And so, like, I'm not going to get on him for that one. But we can all point and laugh at Eric Cross, who's in second to last, because he has no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
and he's such a good dude. He'll laugh this one off.
Right. I mean, obviously, anyone could have wound up there. You know what I mean? You draft in hope, especially in a 15-man league, and the pickup stuff. You know how I am. I despise weekly pickups because I will forget. I'll have something going on Sunday, and then I'll be like, did I get that guy, or did I forget to put in my waiver wire claim? So I've been a little bit better about it this season, going through this right here, but I'm still not fantastic at it. So I do need to step up my game as far as pickups go. And, you know, I know that's an excuse, and I don't want to use it. I think this team has room for improvement as soon as you, Darvish, picks it up. But, I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I've got a lot of work to do too, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to mean much. So, how have you been enjoying the format? Are you at least enjoying it?
Yeah, you know what? It's better. I think you would actually be proud of me. You know how I love head to head and I hate roto. I'm the opposite of you. But we have a entry league where it's points. We do one entry with two leagues, and it's a points league and a roto league, and I'm in first in both of those, and I am crushing the roto league. So I'm doing very, very well in that one so far, and I've never been very good at roto. So
we are actually in discussions for next year. You'll enjoy this, to potentially do a points league or a head-to-head version of this. So
I like that.
That
yeah.
may happen. And when I say we are in discussion, it's really just internal monologue, since I'm the only one who's actually in charge of this. And it's just like, do I want to put more work into things?
Would that be more work?
Well, I mean, I'd have to create a whole separate, league
structure.
Oh,
so you would do like an overall playoff with everybody?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the idea.
Okay.
So.
I thought you would have like 13 champions. You know, that kind of thing. But you would do just one big ass playoff. Yeah, I mean, I'm for you doing more work and me enjoying it. So that's fine by me.
Have there been any issues with your league?
I don't think so. No, the draft took forever, but we were by far not the worst. So
Chris, I believe, was in the worst.
Oh, yeah, he was complaining about it. I think there was one dude who was just like, F you, and just going to take the full 12 hours or something along those lines happen. I don't really know. But and I always find it funny when people complain about, you know, we did this draft, like, when did the draft start? Do you remember? The January 3rd or something? It was very, very early.
I think it was the beginning of February, I believe.
Beginning of February. So February
or no, 3rd. March 1st, actually. March 1st.
Was it really? Okay. But we finished like 2 weeks before the season even started. So I always find it funny when people complain about the slow moving draft. It's like, well, dude, we have, you know, the league doesn't start till the 27th of March. I think
you can't please everyone, because like,
next year it's
going to
be difficult, though, because of the opening games in Japan. Like, are we going to want to use those? Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of have to decide that as an industry because there's so much earlier. I know. The same thing happened with the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers a couple years ago with the games in Australia.
Yeah, that's so right. I totally forgot about that.
Early, and that's annoying.
Great. More work for me to figure out.
Get everything done a little bit earlier. That's right.
You mentioned you have some injuries. You've got kind of some guys who aren't performing. Does your team have any other major deficiencies on it? Are you lacking in certain categories, or do you think there's a way for you to catch up?
Well, you know, the two guys I drafted for saves were Archie Bradley, and obviously that's not working out for me, and Ken Giles. And Ken Giles had the back issue or the...
Punched himself in the face.
Yeah, a sucking issue where he was just terrible for a while, and they're like, ah, we're going to let Davinsky get some saves here. And but he seems to be back on it, even though his ERA is up in the fours. My pitching staff hasn't been the greatest. You know, Carlos Carrasco starting to come around. Yu Darvish has got to be better. I mean, I just don't see where he can't go any further south from this. Garrett Richards is kind of hit or miss. Tyler Molly's hit or miss. So I'm waiting on Kyle Bearclaw to take that gig away from Brad Ziegler. As far as my hitting goes, I'm okay. I thought I'd have a little bit more average.
Your hitting's been great. I mean, you're first in home runs, first in RBIs, third in average, second in run scored. I mean, your hitting is crushing.
Yeah, I guess I'm doing a little bit better than I thought. I just, when I look over it, I'm kind of like, you know, I took Justin Smoke, who's been okay. I've always loved Solarte. Chris Bryant was obviously a good pickup. Lindor has been good. So, yeah, my hitting is probably better than what I'm thinking it is. But now I've had, you know, I could really use Will Myers coming back. And if just one catcher could stay healthy, I'd be very happy. You know, I'm not going to pick up whoever's catching for the, I don't even know who's catching for the Cardinals now with Molina and Carson Kelly out. So, but I know I'm not picking him up. I'm going to pick up another you know, catcher, because apparently when I take Cardinals catchers, they get hurt. So I'm done with all that mess.
All right, let's transition and talk about kind of you and your kind of entrance and rise in the fantasy industry, because you've become quite a big deal.
Okay.
I think you have. So. You know, but how did you get your start in the fantasy industry? Was this something you aspired to do, or did you kind of fall into it by accident?
Well, you know, I've been playing fantasy sports since I was like 14 years old. I had, the very beginning was an MSNBC salary cap league where I had to borrow my mother's credit card because I was 14 and call in and make the changes from week to week. Like, I spent my allowance, you know, paying for my stupid team moves and roster construction and all that stuff, because it was like $5 to drop a guy and $1 to move a guy from your bench into your wire, into your starting lineup, and they would mail you your weekly results. I would get it in the mail for real. I mean, this is, you know, 1995, I believe, 1996, somewhere around there. So, you know, it was still dial up and all that stuff. And I don't even think we had the internet until 99 or 2000, something like that. But anyway, so I've been playing for a long, long time. I really didn't start working in the industry until about 4.5 years ago when the Welsh and I started in this league. I mean, we've had other podcasts. You know, we did a thing for a place called Sports Porch, which was very shortly lived. I don't even know if they're still around, to be honest with you. And we just kind of decided to make our own thing. So we kind of just dove in head first. We started with basketball, and then baseball season came around, and then we did football too. The Welsh does minor league stuff. I do NFL draft stuff. So we kind of have been working all the way around in pretty much everything except hockey. So, and we have a hockey show on our network with our guys Tony and Brian. But yeah, it's just kind of been, you know, growing from there. We wrote our first book this year, as I know you guys did, at Friends with Fantasy Benefits also. And we joined up with Fantrax this year too. So, you know, just it's growing and growing and becoming more and more busy. And it's kind of funny because you and I started around the same time, and we've kind of, you know, our brands have grown together, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we consider you guys kind of like our best friends in the industry. Like you mentioned, we all started around the same time. I think you guys started a little bit before us, but we've kind of grown together. And I always think of Friends of Fantasy Benefits and ITL as kind of brothers or cousins within the industry.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. So it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, you get to meet more and more people, great people like our buddies, Paul Spohr and Steve Gardner and stuff. So it's
Paul's
a lot
all right.
Yeah, Paul's okay.
You guys do a lot of stuff over at ITL. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? You mentioned you do a college football podcast, which I listen to. You guys do basketball, which I don't do basketball, but I've tried. I just can't.
I will get the occasional question from you, though, which I enjoy. You're like,
that'll
look,
end this year because I am.
You're getting out.
Yeah, I've done a 3-sport league for Oh, God, now 4 years, 3 or 4 years. Finished second in it last year, almost won, came down to like the final couple weeks of the baseball season. And this year is just basketball is an absolute train wreck. I think it's a roto league, a 14-team roto league, and I'd be surprised if I had more than 25 points. So like it was just really bad. So I'm done with it after this year. It just I just don't know enough about basketball. I just really don't. I'm tired of pretending.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, sometimes some things got to go by the wayside when you're that busy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I get it. So I've tried to cut back on leagues. I did 8 baseball leagues last year, and I'm in 11 this year. So obviously that didn't work. But I feel like I'm doing better in my baseball leagues this year. You know, I didn't draft Billy Burns anywhere.
Oh, so that helps.
That has been a big help. I drafted Patrick Corbin everywhere. So you're welcome,
Boo. Everyone.
And and I didn't draft AJ Pollock anywhere. And 0 shares of AJ Pollock. So, yeah, I mean, we have, like I said, we've got football, we've got college football. I do NFL draft stuff. The Welsh has Prospect One. We have our baseball pod. We're both on Full 60 for Fantrax now. I'm starting 2 new podcasts for Fantrax. One is I'm actually recording our first episode right as soon as we're done with this. It's called CFF on Campus. It's college fantasy football. It's going to be with John Lobb and Justin Heisey. I have my own college fantasy football podcast on in this league with Blaise Sinopoli. Just a lot of stuff, man. So we're keeping busy and grinding, and it's a lot of fun and a lot of work at the same time. So, you know, please find something and enjoy it. And if you need porn suggestions, hit me up on Twitter. So.
You guys, I mean, you started with just ITL, but like you said, you've branched out into Fantrax. You also have a radio show with the Welsh over on FNTSY.
I forgot about that. That's how much stuff I'm doing. I forgot about the radio show. So,
I mean, how has it been going from just like your own thing to having to work for other organizations and do other things?
You know, it's tough giving up control sometimes. Because, and I know you know this too, because when you're doing your own thing for a while, you have full and complete control. And then when you move over to something else, whether you have new partners or kind of a boss, you know, you have to kind of make adjustments to what they want. But I don't think it's changed too much of what we do on our own end or how we go about doing our show. So it's just always been a lot of fun, and you know, the second it starts to feel like a real job, I'll probably be out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think it's ever going to get to that point. So it's fun, and you know, if you get a little bit of scratch to do it too, it makes for an enjoyable life. So, you know.
Then you guys also wrote a book. It was a really cool project that you guys did. It involved a lot of people in the industry. Is called 99 Fantasy Player Debates or Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. And
Justin was too busy.
Unfortunately, I was.
Everybody else give up 10 minutes of their time, but not Justin. He's too busy.
Like you said, I wrote my own. It was, you know, like 400 pages and, at the same time. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to. Next year, you guys get me in next year. I'll be in for sure.
Okay. All right. I have that. I'm going to pull this.
Yeah, so there you go.
Have that on the record.
What was that like writing a book? Which is still available on Amazon if people want to go out and get it. It's a really cool, different thing, different than like a typical draft guide type thing. You guys,
yeah, our shtick is kind of player versus player. Mm-hmm. So you know, we've usually done player debates on our show, and when we have people back that were helping us in the book, we'll ask them about. We'll look back at the ones that they chose. So we did it kind of a boxing style, like if you put X player against X player, how do you score this? Would you say it's a knockout? Would you say it's a 10-9 victory in one person's favor, 10-8, 10-7, something along those lines? So that's kind of how we went about the book, and it was fun to write. And I despise writing, to be completely honest, because when it comes to it, I'm like a perfectionist. Not that I'm saying my writing is perfect, because it's most likely terrible, but I'll write it like three times before I go. Fine, this is it. You know what I mean? So I'll like write up a whole thing and then go, nah, F that. I got to redo this whole thing. I got to reword this thing. This sounds stupid. Until I get to a third, sometimes even a fourth one. So, you know, like writing, like I did 99 player debates, but I probably really did close to 300. So because I write and rewrite and all that stuff. So that was frustrating, but it was fun, you know, getting your opinion out there and kind of, you know, it's kind of guide-ish. It's not really a guide. It's like the Welsh calls it a complimentary piece to other types of guides. Like yours was a full guide. Mm-hmm. You know, ours was kind of, you know, a fun way to look at when you're drafting, why should I pick this guy over that guy? And which is what it comes down to during your draft. You know what I mean? You are picking this player over that player, and we just gave you reasons to favor each guy. So it was fun.
No, it was really, really cool, and I hope it was very successful for you guys because it was something different that you don't see in the industry. So
yeah, it wasn't, but it was fun. So
you mentioned you've got the new pods coming up on FanTrax, you know, fantasy football, college fantasy football getting started soon.
Anything IDP else? Also.
Oh, IDP, nice. Anything else coming new down the pike?
New, not that I can announce yet. We're kind of in limbo with one project, so we're going to get that rolling. Hopefully soon we'll be able to announce it, but for right now, it's just the 30,000 shows that we do.
Well, so then you got to follow Scott on Twitter, at Bogman Sports, to make sure you're getting all the news when he is able to announce it.
Yes, so, very soon.
Before we give you one more chance to plug all your work, why don't you, do you have any pieces of advice that you give to people trying to get into the industry? You know, a lot of people ask me, like, how can I become a fantasy sports analyst? How can I do what you do? You know, because obviously I'm not very good and everybody thinks they can do what I do. if someone asked you, what would be your advice?
Find your voice. You know what I mean? Just kind of find what you're good at. You know, the Welsh and I are, number one, we have good chemistry because we've known each other since high school, so, or middle school, something. So we've known each other for a long time, so we have good chemistry. That's number one. And if you're going to podcast, don't go with crappy equipment, because if you use a crappy microphone and you don't know how to edit, I would say learn those things if you're going to do, you know, what Justin and I do in podcasting. If you're going to do something like that, get good equipment, learn how to edit, you know, make yourself a good open, because if you sound like you're talking through a tin can, people will turn you off in 30 seconds. They won't give you a second shot either. So I would say that just be prepared before you start, which is something I wish someone would have told us. You know, just be very, very prepared. Even if you know everything, you know, you're gonna find criticism. You know what I mean? You're going to have people that don't like you, and you're going to have ups and downs, and there's going to be frustration. You're going to make bad calls. You know what I mean? I would say just own them. Own your bad calls, understand what you did wrong, and then move on to the next spot. You know, no one, not everyone can be perfect all the time. So, I mean, you know, the best people in this, I would say Paul Spohr is probably the best overall guy in fantasy baseball, and even he messes up sometimes. Don't tell him I said that, though.
All the time. So, all the time. Pretty much anytime he disagrees with me.
Right, that's what I would say, too. Anytime he disagrees with Justin.
Well, that is really, really good advice. Scott, thank you for joining me.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me.
I want to remind people again where you can reach on social media and then plug everything you got going.
At Bogman Sports, I've got In This League Fantasy Baseball, Fantasy Football, In This League College Fantasy Football, Fantrax Full 60, Fantrax CFF On Campus, Fantrax IDP, the Individual Defensive Podcast with Gary Davenport, FNTSY on Saturday from 9 to noon Eastern, and that's everything I have for right now.
Definitely give Scott a follow on Twitter, at Bogman Sports. You can also follow In This League on Twitter or just head over to InThisLeague.com for all the happenings going on with Scott. He was a fantastic interview and just a really great person within the industry. Glad to call him my friend. Next up is Ariel Cohen of Fangraphs. Joining me right now is Ariel Cohen of Fangraphs. Ariel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I've been very excited to get you on. Finally have been able to get you on one of my podcasts. So, and this is a good one to get you because you are doing very, very well in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, are you not?
Yeah. In my division, league number two, it's pretty tight. I'd say 1 point separates like second through sixth place. So, you know, it depends on the day. I'm bouncing around between anywhere from second down to sixth, but really, really doing well. In the overall, I'm in the top 20 to 25% and representing Fangraphs pretty well.
You're definitely representing it better than me and Paul Spohr as we are mired towards the bottom, but you are holding up the average of Fangraphs for us.
Yep, doing my part to kill it here.
and that you are. Before we jump too far into things, I want to let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter. You can find Ariel at ATCNY on Twitter. Definitely hit him up. We're going to get into some of the stuff that you do within the industry and over at Fangraphs as well. But first, I want to talk more about your invitational team. Are you enjoying the format?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've done NFBC leagues before, big money leagues, but this is the first time that I'm actually doing an expert league. I think that the fact that you have 13 homogeneous league of experts makes this a very important thing for the industry. I think that it has the power to probably add a lot of things to the general community. You know, if you're doing your pre-draft prep, if you're just anybody doing your home league, and you're looking for, hey, you know, what's a great list of top second basemen? You know, you can go on ESPN or on somebody's site and get their opinion. But hey, you've got 195 experts here. If you take a look at the ADP across the Invitational, those really are a very, very great set of and very robust set of rankings. So I think it's really great for the industry. I will say about the format, I love that it's a one catcher league. Personally, I play in my home leagues are all one catcher. I think the industry should really head that way. So I'm happy it's there. My plan in drafting was to pick a catcher with my very last pick, because really catchers are almost meaningless in this kind of format. Just personally, in my draft, when I got to about the 18th round, my team was a little bit shy on power and I had enough batting average. Mike Zunino was available to me, so I just went ahead and grabbed him, going away from what my plan was. But yeah, I love the format.
Awesome. Do you feel like there are any major deficiencies with your squad?
Well, I started with an amazing pitching staff. Unfortunately, they're pretty much all injured now. I got Carlos Martinez, Robbie Ray, Johnny Cueto. Rich Hill has even been injured. So I should call myself the DL team here. Yeah, deficiency only because of injury. Otherwise, I'm actually pretty well balanced. I'm a little bit light on saves, but I just picked up Tyler Clippard. And I do have Addison Reed and Ryan Madsen on the bench. So hopefully they'll fall into saves. Hopefully Addison Reed will fall into saves. I mean, how much can Fernando Rodney really stink up and just keep the role? He's like the most bulletproof player in all of baseball. You know?
He's just one of those guys that sticks around and never seems to officially give it up. So I don't know. You know, I was a big buyer of Addison Reed as well. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, I have way too many teams this year, but I believe, oh no, I guess I don't have him on my team in the Invitational. I thought I did, but I got lots of shares of Addison Reed, so I'm hoping you're right that at some point he falls into some saves.
I think he will be. If the Twins are any relevant later on, they're going to turn to him.
All right. Any issues with your league so far?
No, it's been great. It's been pretty smooth sailing. The one thing I'd say is I kind of hoped and thought there'd be a little bit more trading to this point. I don't think in my league there's been a single trade that actually went through. But, you know, maybe as teams realize their deficiencies and what their abundances are towards the All-Star break, maybe we'll see a lot more action there.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people don't realize, though there have been a number of leagues with a fair amount of trading, industry leagues in general tend to be a little bit lighter on the trading side because people don't want to look like they got the bad end of a deal. They don't want to be mocked, and they don't want people to point at them as, oh, you really screwed this trade up.
Right, right. No, you definitely don't want to be in a shameful spot there. But I thought there'd be a little bit more trading. In the NFBC, there is no trading at all, which I kind of don't like. I like the fact that, hey, you know, if you're a GM, you can see I have a deficiency and really solve for it. You know, in the NFBC, you're never going to take D. Gordon, Trey Turner, and Billy Hamilton all together. In a trading league, you could, because you can just build up that surplus and steal and then trade it in the middle of the year for, you know, any power bat in the middle. So hopefully we'll see some more action.
All right. Let's transition a little bit into kind of more about you. How did you get your start in the industry?
Well, as most people here, you know, I've been playing fantasy baseball, and actually real baseball, softball, that is, since high school and college. But I'm actually an actuary by trade, and I have a big statistical background. So, you know, playing in my home leagues, I said, hey, you know, let's try to create a model to project players. And so back in 2011, I started with my ATC projection model. I used it in all of my home leagues, and I started winning and winning first or second place in almost every single league in every year. So, hey, you know, I thought, what's the next step? I entered a contest called Doubt Wars. For those who don't know about Doubt Wars, it's actually run by Tout Wars. And it's a league where you try to beat the experts by assembling your own regular team just as the touts, and the salaries of any player is exactly $1 more than whatever the tout paid for it. So, you know, essentially you're saying, hey, if I was in the Tout Wars auction, I can just pay another dollar and beat Ron Chandler and take him as my player. So I did that league, and I actually finished in second place in my first try. So, you know, I thought I was really successful there. I spoke to Peter Kreutzer, who said, you know, you should probably try the NFBC. So I did that. And my first year, I won my league, and I finished ninth in the overall, which was fantastic. But the key for me there was playing against me in that league. I happened to play against the Birchwood brothers from Fangraphs, Dan and Michael Smirlock, who I spoke to about my projection system, and they kind of loved it. So they got in touch. They got me in touch with Eno Saris over at Fangraphs when he was there. He loved it, and actually Eno's been using that my projection system and method for his labor drafts every year. And so you know, he got me in touch with David Appleman, and you know, he really was interested in it and put it up on the site, and that's sort of how I got there.
How did you develop them and what goes into them? Because they're great. I've used them as well.
You know, thanks for that. Well, you know, as I said, I'm an actuary by trade, so I do a lot of modeling. You know, I do underwear commercials and GQ spot. No, not that kind of modeling. No, statistical and modeling. I actually do a lot of modeling with hurricanes and earthquakes and natural disasters. Actually, really cool stuff. But you know, the one thing that really hammers down when you're working with models in general is no one model is perfect. You know, no one model gets everything right. Even if there is a model that is 98% accurate, you know, there's always going to be another model out there that's going to get that other 2% right. So the best thing that you can do to make a better model is to take those two models and somehow combine them and use the best parts of each to make another. And of course, the whole trick is you know what the way to do it. You know, do you take 98% of this? Do you look at wind speed? So talking about hurricane modeling, you know, and weather forecasting. You ever notice how a hurricane is forecasted? And when they show you the picture of where it's going, they show you like that 3 and 5 day cone. Yeah, and then they have like a dotted line in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That actually is not just one model. That's a composition of like 10 or 20 different models. So, you know, when the Weather Channel, let's say, puts it together as their best estimate as to where the hurricane's going to go, you know, they'll figure out that, hey, if you use 40% of the European model and 20% of the American model and maybe 10% of a model made by two guys somewhere in a bar in Mexico, I don't know, you know, they combine that and that proves to be the best estimate of where you think this hurricane's going to go. So I took that concept to obviously a much more important arena called fantasy baseball. And that's what I do. But instead of predicting where hurricanes go, I do that for stolen bases, and I do that for home runs, and I do that for pitcher strikeouts and every statistic you can imagine, and combine multiple other projection systems that I can get my hands on and turn it into something really, really meaningful. So that's in a nutshell how the average total cost or the ATC projection model works.
Wow, that is really interesting. I've done projections for myself in the past, but it's really crude. It's not not in depth like what you're doing.
Yeah, it really is helpful. You know, a lot of people have asked me, hey, you know, what happens to, are you going to ever spot a guy like Aaron Judge in 2017 that's you know, just going to smack it? And the answer is, you're never going to get that kind of projection doing this method. But you will find Judge to be just slightly more valuable than what somebody else says. You know, if everybody is thinking Aaron Judge is worth a dollar and you use your model and it says he's worth $4, you're going to buy him. So it really doesn't matter if he earns $5 or $25, you know, you're going to be profitable on that. So this kind of method really helps you find guys who are undervalued and helps you stay away from guys who are just far overvalued.
Really, really good. Let's talk a little bit about one of the pieces you did so far this year. You did your bold predictions piece back in March. You've gotten some. You've already kind of gotten some hits or some guys who are going to be close to it, including you had a big call on Ender Inciarte, stealing at least 30 bases, and if I'm correct, he's getting pretty close.
Yeah, he might even steal 70 bases this year at the rate he's going.
He's already got 18 in 41 games played. Talk a little bit about that piece.
Yeah, so you know, bold predictions are something that a lot of fantasy analysts like to put out. They're usually pretty wild. You know, you're going to get like two or three right in general. So, you know, if I'm hitting four or five of them by the season's end, and of course the season's far from over, you know, that's a huge success. So you know, talk a little bit about, you know, some of them in there that have been successes. You know, as you mentioned, Inciarte there, other top guy, Eddie Rosario. Eddie Rosario was the number one biggest bargain that my projection systems really showed. My projection, or at least my bold prediction, was that he would finish as a top 15 outfielder this year. Currently, he's sitting at number 10 on ESPN's Player Rater. He was great. Tommy Pham, I predicted a 30-30 season for him. He's gotten 8 homers and 7 steals thus far, so he's on pace for just that, which would be cool, because the Cardinals have actually never, ever had a 30-30 player in their history. The other another good one that I had is I predicted that Edwin Encarnacion would outperform Paul Goldschmidt this year. Paul Goldschmidt is having absolutely a disastrous season. I mean, he's number 35 right now. Number 35 first baseman, that is. He's batting like almost 200. He's got 4 homers. I mean, you know how many people have more than 4 homers than him? Asdrubal Cabrera has more homers than Goldschmidt. Kurt Suzuki. Shohei Ohtani has more homers than Paul Goldschmidt this year. Yes, something is really up with Goldschmidt this year. I saw an interesting stat the other day. of pitches 96 miles an hour or faster, do you know how many hits Goldschmidt has this year off of that?
I don't.
He had zero.
Oh, wow.
He has not been able to hit any kind of fast pitch of any kind. So this is not just bad luck. There is something really up with Goldschmidt this year.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about Reuven Guy, who does injury analysis. You work with him. What's that like working with him?
Oh, he's great. I've worked with Reuven for a long time. We partner in a ton of leagues together. If you don't know him or follow him, you really should. His Twitter handle is at MLB Injury Guru. He really is the fantasy MLB Injury Guru. He gathers pretty much the most up-to-date latest injury news out there, and he tweets it out really quick, but not just in who's injured. A lot of has to do with recovery time. He's an orthopedist, and he's been in sports medicine for the last 15 years. He knows exactly what an injury looks like and what the span is. I remember back in 2016 when Kyle Schwarber went down early in the season, he just looked at the play, and without evaluation, he said, oh, that's a torn ACL, and yeah, he's probably going to be out. You know what? Maybe he can come back in October, and if the Cubs are in the World Series, then he'll play. So, you know, he's really spot on. You guys should really follow him.
All right. You got anything new coming down the pike?
Right now, my ATC projections are really preseason projections only, but at some point I'm looking to generate a rest of season version of that too, which would be cool. The other thing that I'm really working on, talking about models, is a probabilistic winning percentage in season analyzer. So I'll explain to you what that means. Basically, if you're in a fantasy league and you know you have your stats to date and everyone else in your league has their stats to date, it will take some projection method for the rest of the season and then simulate like 5,000 possible outcomes for what could be for the rest of the season. And it will give you a probability of your team winning, a probability of your team coming in second place, and so on and so forth. It's really potentially very powerful. I mean, let's say talking about trades. Let's say you have D. Gordon. Somebody offers you Chris Davis. You know, straight steals, power for steals play. Right now, what do you do in that kind of trade? You look at your team and you say, hey, maybe I can gain 3 points here. I lose 2 points here. I gain two in the RBI. And you kind of sort of fudge it and you say, yeah, it probably helps me. Well, this actually will go through your roster and churn out these simulations, and it'll actually give you a hard probability. So let's say before the trade, you were 22% to win the league. After the trade, it might tell you 25%, which means, yeah, that might be a good trade. Or maybe it'll tell you 18%, which means, yeah, no, that trade really doesn't help you. And you can compare trade offers. You know, if somebody's offering you two different options or two different players or two different teams are offering you, you can go and run this, and it will tell you, all right, well, this is gonna, you're going to gain 4% here. You're going to gain 10% here. Yeah, you should pick the 10% one, the one that gives you the best chance. And, you know, you can even branch out with these kinds of things. Let's say waiver wire. You know, who should you pick up this week? Who should you drop? This will give you a hard percentage to tell you, you know, what gives you the best chances of winning. So that's something I'm working on, which would be really, really powerful in season.
Wow, that would be a pretty amazing tool.
Yeah, and I have a lot of it done. It's just a question of doing research on making sure you have the right kind of volatility per statistic. And, of course, statistics are correlated. So, you know, if you hit home runs, you're going to have RBIs. So, you know, you have to have the right measure of how correlated those statistics are. But, yeah, I'm doing the research for that. And, you know, when that's ready, that's going to be really, really powerful.
Do you have any advice for people who are trying to get into the industry?
You always really want to do what you do best. You want to find your niche and what makes you unique. If you're a podcaster, then podcast. If you're an injury writer, write about that. If you're a prospects guy, just write it right there. And show up to a baseball conference, go watch Tout Wars in person. You know, just start tweeting little things, and you know, you just never know who you can meet and where you could end up.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ariel, so much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Really a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks so much.
Definitely. Remind everybody where they can reach you on social media, and then again, give all your work plugs.
Well, you can check out some of my writing on Fangraphs.com. You can check out the ATC player projections. They're up there for the entire season on Fangraphs under the projections tab. You can also find them in their auction calculator. And you can reach me, and please do follow me on Twitter at ATCNY. I think I have the shortest Twitter handle you can possibly have.
Yeah, no, it's pretty short. It's perfect. I feel like mine is way too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. We'll definitely have you back on in the future, and then we'll have to get you back on the beginning next season so you can kind of plug what you're doing for the kind of the preseason stuff, because, yeah, your projections are great, and this has been a real joy to have you on.
All right, thanks a lot, Justin, and take care.
That'll do it for another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Again, big thanks to Scott Bogman and Ariel Cohen for coming on and talking about themselves for a little bit and talking about the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational still going on right now. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can email me or the show, JustinMasonFantasy@gmail.com. If you want to follow my work, you can catch all my written work at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarms, and Friends of Fantasy Benefits.com. You can also listen to me on the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or on Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcast, where I cover football and baseball, and of course on the Sleeper in the Bus podcast with Paul Spohr and Jason Collette. And speaking of that, we have got a t-shirt for that, and you can go to rotowear.com, and Kenneth Cashman will hook you up with a Sleeper in the Bus t-shirt. It's a limited edition one. Once it runs out, it's gone. But we still have a few available on our second run of it, and Kenneth has been so great to me and a number of people within the industry. He's actually responsible for the intro and outro music of this podcast. Go check out all the stuff they've got over there on rotowear.com. And also, you can go over to Rotowear Classics, which is on Amazon, and you can get a picture or a t-shirt with a picture of my face on it that looks like was drawn by Kenneth's newborn child. It's a fantastically funny shirt. And if you're interested in, you know, sporting my face around town, you can go get that on Amazon.com. Just type in Rotowear Classics into the search bar and it will pop right up. All right, and that will end it for this week. Check back next week when we have two more people within the industry. We've got some great guests coming up this season. Paul Spohr has agreed to join me at some point and talk about himself as opposed to me just yelling at him over certain players. Craig Mish is going to join us. I'm sure I'll be able to get a number of other guys within the industry as well, and as well as guys you may not know of, as well as maybe some of these bigger names. So this is going to be a lot of fun to continue to do this all season long. I hope you continue to listen. And as always, have a great baseball season. First place in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way. And a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane. Say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing. Because every single week another win for me. Commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standing. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is a playoff bye. Make amazing finds off the waiver wire. All day and night, better stay retired. See me in first, all proud and cozy. Bro, please, I can't even count my trophies. Bragging, even with my bats are slumping, I'm a pack a punch, stat tracker junkie. But one they don't wanna play, first place in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way, and a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game.